It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Number 3 begins now. We're going to kick it back to Jake at the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Jake, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How you guys doing out there?
Not bad. Let's go with the Top 5 at 5.
Number 1, the University of Kansas may have apologized for Snoop Dogg's recent explicit performance on campus, but old Snoop probably won't. According to a report TMZ published today, Snoop recently expressed his thoughts on the backlash of his now infamous set during a Tuesday interview on The Howard Stern Show. School officials did not seem to find the stripper poles, dancers, and money guns Snoop imported for the show appropriate, but the veteran MC is confident, saying, quote, "The audience enjoyed that bleep. I don't know what the bleep they talking about." The 35-minute performance went down at the school's Allen Fieldhouse basketball arena last Friday during the school's kickoff event for basketball season Late Night in the Fog, and his show was reportedly supposed to solely feature radio edits of his songs. However, Snoop ended up performing the explicit versions of each song, complete with multiple pole dancers performing alongside him and people shooting fake cash out of money guns.
Oh, my. Yeah, the fake cash they were shooting, Russ, I wasn't sure if you're aware of this. It was fake money with, you know, Snoop Dogg is the president figure, and a
President Snoop.
Yeah, with a marijuana leaf.
Oh, a marijuana leaf. That's incredible.
Yeah. And, well, and also the guys that were dressed up kind of like Smokey looks, like in the suits.
Oh, they're walking around with the like 10-foot-long blunt.
Yeah.
That, hardly the type of behavior.
This might shock you, but repeat that part. His the two-sentence statement for us. Jake.
Snoop Dogg said, "The audience enjoyed that bleep. I don't know what the bleep they talking about."
That's.
I don't want to paint with a broad brush. Don't want to be judgmental. I've never been to Kansas. From what I hear,
it's a nice place.
Yes, but I'm not sure that Snoop Dogg matches up with the target audience for Kansas basketball. Like,
you might be surprised. Those guys, when they came out of, you know, Long Beach and Compton, they didn't become dadgum near billionaires by selling records to people that live in Compton and Long Beach. They became almost billionaires selling records to middle America.
Well, you know, I'm picturing that more of a Garth Brooks crowd than a Snoop Dogg crowd. I could be wrong. Yeah. I could be wrong.
Number 2.
Yes.
He's highly representative of their program right now. But anyways, number 2. The NBA Cares event in Shanghai involving the Los Angeles Lakers was canceled today just hours before it was scheduled to begin, adding to the fallout from a recent tweet by Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey that showed support for anti-government protesters in Hong Kong. The NBA would say only that calling off the event, which was supposed to benefit the Special Olympics, was not its own decision. Yesterday, an NBA Cares event with the Brooklyn Nets at an education center in Shanghai was also canceled by the Chinese government, and NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said the league would still donate computers to the center.
Well, yeah, I mean, after you and Davey Hudson had that the talk about, I guess I understand it. It's a big mess, isn't it?
Well, it's just here's my problem. The NBA, and we're live here at Smoky Mountain Brewery, so I'm going to turn the speaker down here because I don't want, like, this is a controversial subject matter, but remember they had that huge kerfluffle. They threatened to move, and I think they did, like, cancel the All-Star game was going to be in Charlotte because of the transgender bathroom bill.
Yeah.
Like, the NBA superstars were clutching their pearls. Oh, my God, this just does not fit in with our position of wokeness and inclusivity,
right?
And you know, this is just a terrible position, and we can't abide by it, man. We can't even play a game there, but they want to go play in China.
Yeah, don't act surprised,
people,
for us.
Well, I'm not. It shows
everybody.
How phony and fake the woke generation is. You don't care about the people and inclusivity when you actually stand to lose something, when you actually got skin in the game, you ain't got nothing to say, man. And like, it's I don't know, it's sad, really. But I don't see any way that the NBA doesn't walk this back, man. Like, people are not going to let this go in the social media age, and everybody's pointing the finger of hypocrisy at them and all this stuff. They're going to have to turn their back on China, and they're going to leave billions of dollars on the table probably in doing so. But I just don't see how you side with the communist regime over American democratic values. It's not a tenable position to me, anyway. Go ahead, Jake.
Number three, Philadelphia 76ers star Ben Simmons hit the first three-pointer of his career in a preseason win over the gun show Long Lions on Tuesday night.
I just saw that.
Yeah, the 6'10" point guard pulled up from deep beyond the arc seconds before halftime with the Sixers up something like 79-41, and he was treated to rapturous applause by the home Philly crowd when he hit the shot. He was 0-19 from beyond the arc in preseason, regular season, and postseason games entering Tuesday, and his last three came on November 30th, 2015, against Charleston while he was at LSU. It's the only three-pointer he made in his college career.
Wow. I wonder how much time he spent. Like, that's, you're in the NBA, man. You're a point guard. Like, you got to be able to shoot the three ball a little bit. I would imagine that he's worked on that. It'll be interesting to see if he continues to showcase that part of his game moving forward.
Boy, Jay Rich looked good as well. You see, continues. It'll be interesting. I'm kind of excited about him being with the Sixers.
Tobias. Yeah.
Number four, Auburn coach Gus Malzahn revealed yesterday that running back Jatarvius "Booby" Whitlow would miss 4 to 6 weeks after he suffered a knee injury in the second half of the Tigers' loss to number 7 Florida. Whitlow underwent surgery Tuesday and is Auburn's leading rusher with 110 carries for 544 yards and 7 touchdowns. His 7 touchdowns also lead the team. If you don't recognize Whitlow as Auburn's leading rusher, you may recognize him as the player who slid into Mississippi State's Bulldog mascot Bully when the teams played each other on September 28th.
Big loss for Auburn, and boy,
it's amazing how quick Malzahn goes from safe to hot seat to safe to hot seat.
You think he's safe right now?
I don't know. Depends on.
You lost to Florida. You got LSU coming up.
Got the Iron Bowl.
You know, you lose one you're not supposed to lose. All of a sudden, that.
I mean, they got really. I mean, people have forgotten Oregon probably should have beat them that first weekend.
Probably should have. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Hate that for that. I wonder what did they say, Jake, what? I mean, I don't expect that they did, but did they say what he did?
No, they didn't really give any specifics that it's just a knee injury and he would miss 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay, so he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks, Russell. So that lets me know we're not dealing with a ligament.
Well, even – oh, wait, hold on. Hold on, Doc.
We're
get you clued in here.
We're probably dealing with meniscus injury.
Uh-huh.
Probably when they cleaned it up, maybe had to snip a little bit out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he'll be good to go in about 6 weeks. Maybe back for the bowl game.
But certainly not at 100% when he comes back. He's going to have to knock the rust off.
No, what year is he?
I'm not certain.
I mean, if he's a junior or senior, if I were advising young man, I'd be like, shut it down, just shut it down. The rest of the year.
Man, Braves not off to a good start here as St. Louis is taking a 1-0 lead. They got runners on first and second now with one out. So Fulton Nevitz not off to a great start. Not good, Bob. This Flaherty guy's just going to come in here and just mow guys down. He's going to throw like 140 pitches and win.
Wow, he was reaching for that one.
We got number five. You ready for that? Or
yes, bring it.
Yeah, we're born ready.
Number five, fans looking to attend Notre Dame's game at Michigan now have a unique way to get tickets and a place to stay. The Goodyear Blimp has partnered with Airbnb, offering 3 separate one-night stays inside the blimp that will also include 2 tickets to the matchup between the Wolverines and the Irish on October 26th. The blimp will be stationed inside a hangar in Mogadore, Ohio, I believe is the name of that town, overlooking Wingfoot Lake, and will be transformed into a one-bedroom, one-bath hotel room fit for 2 guests. Inside, guests will find a seating area with a fold-out couch, and on the exterior, the guests will be treated to a lounge area with turf and couches. They also have access to a television, grill, and fire pit, as well as cornhole. The stays go for $150 a night and will be available for October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, but reservations don't open on the Airbnb site until October 15th.
So now these people are going to pay, Russell, to basically – I thought that, you know, if you told me that once we get there the blimp takes off and your Airbnb in like 1,000 feet or something, that'd be pretty cool. But
yeah.
I'm not going to stay in, you know, sleep in a blimp in a hangar Ohio.
Do you get to do they at least go for a ride and then come back down and more?
Have you ever been in a blimp or like a hot air balloon?
No, I have not. Looks like a great time, though.
It looks incredibly dangerous to me.
Nah, I mean,
I've got a fear of I don't have a fear of falling to my death. It's a fear of falling and surviving from that high.
I mean, you saw Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade, when the Nazis were chasing him and he went on the big. I mean, that was more of a Zeppelin than a blimp, you know. A Zeppelin is a big old thing.
I feel like a Zeppelin's the same thing as a blimp. It's just a German word for
they're
it.
They're not. The Goodyear blimp's not filled wasn't the Hindenburg was filled with hydrogen, right?
One of the most explosive substance known to man.
What is the Goodyear blimp is helium?
I'm not sure what, I mean, it's some type
of mixture.
That's
flammable too, isn't
no,
it? It's not?
No.
It's
no.
Safer though.
Yeah, but I mean, they still have blimp wrecks, blimp crashes. You think they'd let us drive it?
I would love to go on the Goodyear blimp.
I think it'd be fun. I just don't want to sleep in the Goodyear blimp in a hangar.
Yeah.
Even if it is overlooking Wingfoot Lake. Have you ever been up to that area?
I have not.
Wingfoot Lake, really nice.
Let's get our man Neil Price in here. He is your play-by-play voice of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, Tennessee's opponent on Saturday. Neil, good afternoon, sir. Sorry we're a little bit late getting you in here. How you doing?
Great, Russell. How are you?
Doing super, thank you. Just getting ready for this game. And certainly Tennessee, Mississippi State, not a marquee SEC matchup by any stretch of the imagination. Tennessee, well, it speaks for itself at 1-4. But talk to me a little bit about Mississippi State. I know that after the Kentucky game, Bulldog fans had to feel pretty good about themselves. But after a beatdown by Auburn, the off week probably couldn't have come at a better time for Joe Moorhead and company.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And, you know, Auburn was probably a good reality check. And it showed that no matter how confident that maybe State's players were and the staff was, that they were close to turning the corner offensively or close to doing what they hoped they would accomplish this year, that they still got a little way to go. And, you know, you can't start a game on the road with a delay of game penalty, you know, before you snap the ball the first time. And that kind of set the tone, it felt like, for the rest of the game. So they've had a week to clean those things up, and these guys are pretty sharp, and I think that they will play better this week when they play Tennessee. But they also have to understand that they're going on the road again in another big stadium, playing against a team that has more confidence now than it had a week ago. I think it'd be fair to say that about Tennessee. And one that feels like it's real close to turning the corner and understands that getting a win at home would be a way to do that. So it's a big game for both teams with regard to any goals or objectives that they still have set for themselves this year.
You know, you had to be so impressed with the job that Dan Mullen did at Mississippi State. And, you know, he was there for a long time and had a lot of success. And, of course, there's that, you know, moment where Mississippi State was number one for a couple of weeks. He leaves, goes to Florida, where he's obviously having more success. And now here comes Joe Moorhead down there. And, you know, he had some big shoes to fill. I know there were big expectations last year, and Mississippi State has kind of transformed itself into a school that does have those high expectations. What is the fan base's reaction and reception for Joe Moorhead been like here through almost a year and a half now?
I think the people who really understand football and understand what it takes to build a program believe that Joe's doing just fine. I think the people that might have gotten a little bit spoiled by the Dak Prescott years and making it all the way to number one in the country, I think they might be a little bit impatient. And I think you could probably apply that to just about any fan base in the country when you had a taste of success. Everybody wants to keep it going, and if it doesn't happen immediately, then the sky's fallen. You know, what Joe Moorhead has done here in about a year and a half has been fine. And I think that he is building a solid foundation for the future of the program. They're recruiting better now at Mississippi State than they have in quite some time. And they're getting better at the skill spots. I think they have two guys at quarterback, if we can just keep them healthy, that are capable of being very good players at that position. Tommy Stevens in the immediate future and Garrett Schrader down the road, because he's got some eligibility left. You know, I think that all that bodes well. And defensively, I think Bob Shoop is the right guy at the right time here. He's dealing with a lot of young guys right now, but again, they're talented young players. They're making mistakes because they're 18 years old and they're playing in the SEC. But I think Coach Shoop has enjoyed going through this process because he likes being able to mold guys, bring them up, and he likes guys who are receptive to coaching and want to learn football, and he feels like he's got that here. And, you know, I think all those things mean a bright future for Mississippi State, but it also means that you're going to have to be just a little bit patient and let them build this thing and get it to where they need it to be to fit their system, not the system that had been in place here for the last decade or so.
Boy, Bob Shoop has rebounded well, and he's the latest in a long line of coaches that, for whatever reason, have had success, it seems, everywhere except for their time in Knoxville. He was very successful at Vanderbilt, at Penn State, and then just did not do well at Tennessee for 2 years. And I think Tennessee fans had to be scratching their head when he goes down there to Mississippi State last year. And I believe were they number one in the country in total defense at the end of last season?
At one point, yes. But now keep in mind, too, and a lot of that is credit to Coach Shoop. Make no mistake about that. But he had three first-round draft picks on that defense, too. And you don't get that kind of a collection of players together very often. I've told people it might be a once-in-a-generation collection that they had there in terms of how they were able to play and work together. And that was a group of guys, too, that had to know football because they had four coordinators in 4 years. So they knew about every term that you could throw at them, any kind of blitz you wanted to draw up, any term you could slap on it, those guys had probably done it and heard it. And Bob said as much last year. And I can't speak to what happened when he was at Tennessee. I gather that, you know, they love the area, and I gather that they love the people. But the thing that he has said here is that he has the freedom to kind of do things the way that he wants to do them, and no one's standing over his shoulder to do it. And I think if you're coaching offense, defense, special teams, whatever it is, you just want to know that the people you're working for have confidence in your ability to do the job and do it the right way. And I think Joe Moorhead stays over on the offensive side, and he trusts Bob Shoop to handle the defense here, and they have a great relationship in that way, and I think it's been beneficial for the players.
Big game for both programs Saturday at Neyland Stadium. Tennessee desperately needs a win, and Mississippi State would be any road win in the SEC is key, even if the Tennessee program is down. Were you surprised that the Bulldogs were a 7-point favorite in this one?
You know, I don't pay a lot of attention to that stuff, so I don't know if I'm surprised by it or not. I think any game that State's going to play in on the road, just based on the young people that they're playing and the injuries that they've had, I think it's going to be a close game. If you're going to win on the road in this league, it's just kind of how it has to happen. It's rare you see somebody go into somebody else's place and run them off the field. So, you know, I'm not a betting man, but if you think it sounds about right, sure, it sounds about right to me. And, you know, I think it'll be a game. I think it'll be a game in the fourth quarter, and I don't know who will win, but I think it'll be a game, and both of them will have it right there, and it'll be up to some of those young guys on both teams to try to find a way and go and take it.
Last thing for you, we'll let you run. And again, Neil Price, voice of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, being generous with his time this afternoon. Neil, what is the Mississippi State game plan for Tennessee fans who might not have seen the Bulldogs play yet this year? What will they try to do Saturday at noon against the Vols?
Well, defensively, especially if Tennessee winds up starting Maurer, and it kind of sounds like that's the way it's headed unless he's had a rough week of practice, I think you try to do something to confuse a young guy, show him some different looks, different pressures from places he's not accustomed to seeing them, and see if he can't create a turnover or two. And that's the one thing. For all the yards and the points that State has given up this year, they have still been effective at creating those takeaways. And for whatever reason, they couldn't get a fumble a year ago with that great defense. Could not get one. Couldn't buy one. And this year, they're starting to rip the ball free and create some fumbles and takeaways in addition to those interceptions. So they've got to find a way to get some turnovers. And when they do, do something with them on the offensive end. Offensively, I think that they're going to try to establish a run game and pass off of that. Kylan Hill is a fantastic running back. He's got a good offensive line in front of him. And, you know, his numbers have been very good, save that Auburn game, and give Auburn a lot of credit. Their front seven are really, really good. So I think you try to set up your pass game by running Kylan and seeing what you can do there, and try to distribute the ball to as many guys as you can to keep Tennessee's defense guessing.
Hey, Neil, really appreciate your time this afternoon. Enjoy the trip up to Knoxville, and enjoy the game this weekend.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I grew up about 40 minutes from there, so I'm excited to be coming back, seeing a lot of family, and excited to get to do a game in the stadium. I grew up watching a lot of games there, so I'm excited to finally get to do one and say that I've had that experience. It'll be a lot of fun.
I knew you were you had Tennessee ties. Where did you grow up?
Morristown.
All right. Were you a Hurricane or a Trojan?
I was a Hurricane and a proud one. Still am, and, you know, I keep up with them when I can. They're falling on hard times up there, too. Don't let anybody fool you. They've had a rough go in football this year, too, but so have the other guys, so that makes it a little bit easier on us, I think. But I keep up as much as I can, and Bob Kessling's a guy who got me into the business, so, you know, it'll be good to see Bob. We keep up quite a bit, but it'll be good to see him, and always good to aggravate him about something, you know, when you get a chance to. If the day ends in Y, it's a good day to get after Bob. So,
well, congrats on the gig. I remember a couple of years ago getting to cover a game for some radio station and walking down to one of the landings on the side of the press box and looking in the window, and there was Jack Crystal smoking a cigarette. And, you know, when this was not something you could do anymore, doing the Mississippi State game, that's a special gig you've got there.
Yeah, I didn't know Jack, but the guy that followed Jack and worked with him for a number of years, Jack or Jim Ellis, was the guy that I followed here a couple years ago. And trust me, just because you don't think you could do it now, if Jack was still here, Jack wasn't one that cared a whole lot about the norms of society or the rules. If Jack wanted a cigarette, he was going to have a cigarette. It's kind of how it's been relayed to me. And the legend is still pretty big here. I mean, 56 years of doing games the same place, that's a pretty impressive run. I've told them I'm not going to make it that long here. They don't have to worry about that. I won't be here 56 years from now. But, there's a great tradition and history of broadcasting at this school, and that was one of the things that made it appealing to me to come here and try and carry on that tradition. And hopefully we're doing a good job of it, but it is kind of cool, though, to be in the fraternity and get to visit with all these guys. And I know a lot of them from doing baseball games in the league, but it's been good to get to visit with them again, get to know them all a little bit better, and really become friends with them. And that's something I think people don't know about what we do, is that a lot of us are friends, and a lot of us understand the ins and outs and the hours and all those things that come with it, and we're having a time of our lives doing it. Make no mistake about that. But it is a job, and it has some time demands that don't make it easy on family, and we all kind of get one another through it.
Very good. Well, thanks again, Neil. Really appreciate your time. Again, enjoy the trip, and thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Yep. Neil Price, voice of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, joining us here live at Smoky Mountain Brewery over the phones. And we got to take a quick break. We are seeing one of the all-time biggest meltdowns I have ever witnessed with the Atlanta. This game is over.
We're not even halfway through the first inning. It's still in the top of the first. The game is over. It's 9-0.
I'll tell you what's wild about this is back when I was a teenager, the Cardinals had a meltdown
this. We got to get caught up. We'll be right back. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
Looks like you're one of the lucky ones. You're listening to The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues live today from Smoky Mountain Brewery. It's $6 Burger Day. And if you're a Braves fan, there's a Braves fan here.
Where?
Well, he left. He said he couldn't take anymore. He was in his Braves jersey. It's 5:30. This game started at 5 o'clock.
We're at the midway. This is a midpoint.
That was a
half-hour-long inning.
The Braves just got the third out seconds ago.
And it's over.
The score is 10-0 on only 5 hits for the Cardinals. They scored 10 runs on 5 hits.
Bunch of errors, I guess.
Well, a bunch of walks. They walked the pitcher with the bases loaded. The pitcher.
I'm going to put an APB out for Big Josh.
This game is over, and the Braves haven't even picked up a bat yet. That might be one of the just all-time – I mean, I can't even think of another meltdown like that in a Game 7 situation.
The Cardinals had a meltdown back in the 80s. It was very much like that. It wasn't the first inning. God, what was that pitcher's name? It's from the Caribbean. Joaquin Andujar?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was Joaquin Andujar. He ended up, like, they finally had to pull him.
They had to pull the starting pitcher.
He was smashing light bulbs and... I told you that guy that wasn't their ace. You act like I don't follow this stuff.
I never said he was their ace, but, I mean, he shut them in game two. Fulton Evich went 7 scoreless innings. The Braves won 3-0.
Yeah, he didn't do that today.
You're thinking like you're in good – I don't know, man. I don't know. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of those old Florida games when they would just run the fan on us like real quick.
35-0 the first quarter.
35-0 or like 40 points in the second half or something like that. You think you got a chance, you're pumped up, and they just crush your soul.
Dog walk you. I think Josh is pulled over on the side of the interstate somewhere crying.
I don't know that. I mean, where does the franchise go from here? I know it's young team and you'll be back and all this stuff and everything, but this is the kind of game that defines your franchise for years to come.
It's similar like the 2001 SEC championship game for Tennessee. It's a gut punch like that.
It's not like losing, you know, it went to 10 innings and you lost by one run, or you're up 2-1 and gave up a 2-run homer and you lose 3-2 or something like that. This is a meltdown of colossal proportions. Never seen anything like this. What the Braves are doing right now. Unbelievable. Let's get Phil in here. Phil, you're on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
What do you say, W?
Hey, Philly.
How you getting better doing?
I'm doing fantastic,
you're doing all right.
Phil.
I know this. You're a Braves fan, Phil. I mean, certainly the Braves have suffered many postseason disappointments through the years, but this has got to take the cake.
Me and Bear's buddy is a bigger Braves fan than I am, but my condolences to him because this will be hard to swallow. The Braves haven't won a playoff series since 2001. So,
nope.
All honesty, guys, the Braves are like Tennessee football.
Well, no, the Braves are in the playoffs.
Well, they're
Tennessee.
In the playoffs, but it don't matter. If you have a far superior team than the Cardinals and they're getting beat 10-0 on their home floor, right?
Well, heck, Phil, I'd like to go to the college football playoff and get blown away. I mean, that sounds pretty – at least the regular season would be fun.
Well, they need to get rid of Snicker, and they didn't – when they at the end of the year, they could have gone and got a bat, and they didn't do it, and it killed them in the last two games. Two of the last three when they had chances to put the Cardinals away and didn't do it. And Freddie Freeman was no-show in the playoffs. Good regular season player, but, you know, when it's cutting that kind of time, he can't get the job done.
Nope.
You know, you're right. I mean, it's
I'll give you a better comparison to the Braves. How about the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, that's getting better. Dallas Cowboys, you know, they can't get it done either.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, at least the Cowboys and the Raiders are better than the Oilers.
We had a Braves fan, a guy in a Braves shirt. He walked out of here before that inning, before that half inning even ended. Now we got two Cardinals fans just came up in their Cards jerseys. They look happy.
Well, yeah, they're leading what, 10-0?
They just get to sit back and watch the rest of this game unfold. Even if the Braves had like some gigantic outburst, I mean, the game is over.
Why don't you change a pitcher after you got two men on? I don't get it.
Because he's your best pitcher, according to Russ.
Nut-cutting time. You got to change, make a Trubisky change quick.
Well, they did. I mean, they got him out of there. What, 2-3-0? And then Freed comes in.
They should have got him out before then.
Freed comes in out of the bullpen, and he's worse than Folty.
But Soroka in there. Let's talk Tennessee basketball, guys. I mean, between Tennessee football and the Braves choking, I don't. Clutcher might choke, but at least gets to the Sweet 16. So,
feel free to join me over here in Pinstripe Nation. Water's warm, Phil. Come on in. You want to cheer for a winner?
Now the Braves are out. Yankees always been my favorite American League team because I hate the Boston Red Sox with a passion.
Me too.
After the Yankees are the greatest organization in the history of professional sports.
I think you could be made in any sport. Well, 27 World Championships.
If Saban hangs in there 10 years, they might catch them, you know.
My buddy Russell Mays does the Fulton games, says, I honestly think the Braves organization will have a hard time rebounding from this fiasco, just as the Falcons have never recovered from losing the Super Bowl.
That's a great point, Debbie. Wonder how Fulton's going to recover from being they ain't won a game yet.
Oh, that's – yeah.
Central is back to old Central now. Central's going to dominate the North Knoxville area now.
Yeah. I'm not going to go ahead and bury the Falcons just yet, but they're definitely having a un-Fulton-esque year. Phil, we got to run, man. Anything else?
Yeah, go Collector, go Wild, go winning basketball. Let's talk basketball instead of slot football. See you.
Quick timeout, The Drive, Fan Run Radio, back with more live from the Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. Stay tuned. The Drive continues after this.
Mama told you there'd be shows like this. This is The Drive.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Jack.
I've come to talk with you again.
What are you doing, Snake? Well, you got to pour salt in the wound of the Braves fans right now. We're hurting.
He is a Braves fan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What's your take on this disaster that's unfolding in Atlanta right now, Jake Lester?
Sorry, Russ. What'd you say there?
Huh?
We got a lot to manage here in the station.
He's so devastated. He's so beat down. He can't even. Did you hear the hurt, the sorrow in his voice just now, Bear?
Yeah,
that's terrible.
It's making me want to giggle.
You're a young man, Jake.
I'm a young man that's been exposed to Tennessee football and
true.
Braves baseball.
Ugh, ugh. What keeps you coming back?
The Drive.
Good answer. Let's get Willie in here. Willie, you're on the Next Door Home Group hotline. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys, this is pretty cool, isn't it? It kind of reminds me of Tennessee football when our season was over before Labor Day.
Actually, yeah, I mean, it is the equivalent of the Georgia State loss, right? I mean, just right off the bat, just soul-deflating.
Yeah. Let's get over with in a hurry. Let's just put a shotgun in our mouth and pull the trigger.
Oh, come on, Willie. Can't say that. That's a terrible thing to say.
Well, I mean, guys, think about if you're going to do it, just, I mean, do it and get it over with. That way we, you know.
They still got nine innings to play.
The Braves are the Braves. It's like I said early in the series. When that Acuna clown loafed on that damn double to right field.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are a real franchise. They're the best franchise in the National League. And the Braves are the Braves, and the Braves are going home. I mean, let's
face it. I can't stand Acuna. I said it. I can't stand him.
Why?
Because he loafs. Because he doesn't take the game seriously. Because he's blessed with more talent probably than anybody to come into this game, maybe since King Griffey Jr. And
they had the damn Bobby Bowden of Major League managers for years who couldn't get it done. I mean, they suck. Let's face it.
Always had that one shining night in 1995 when Marquise Grissom caught the final out.
Yeah.
To bring the World Series trophy home to Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. Never forget, Willie. Never forget.
Hey, I was at the stadium the night that Bobby Cox was too stupid to pinch run for Sid Bream, and Sid Bream barely made it home to win that game against the Pirates. And I'm like, why in the hell is he not sending a pinch runner in for that clown?
Who is he going to pinch run with?
He was like a Clydesdale horse running around at those bases. Bobby Cox, the worst damn manager in the history of baseball.
Come on, Willie. The guy won more games than just about anybody.
Sucks.
All right, Willie. Thank you very much. You've added a lot here this afternoon. Grief. Willie calling in.
I thought he
teeing
was
off on
calm
Bobby Cox.
And composed.
Just remember. When anybody talks about Barry Bonds going into the Hall of Fame and whether or not his records should have an asterisk next to it, just remember, Barry Bonds, in his natural state, before he turned to the allure of performance-enhancing drugs,
yeah.
Barry Bonds could not throw out a gimpy Sid Bream on a weakly hit ground ball to shallow left center field.
That's why he went on the roids, wasn't it?
Never forget.
I found that game. How old were you in 85?
Five.
Yeah, you wouldn't remember. Game 7, Royals versus the Cardinals. Joaquin Andujar.
So it was a World Series game.
Game 7, it cost him the series. Epic
guy meltdown. Just melted down?
Yeah, I mean, every pitch he threw, they just smacked it right back at him.
How many runs did he give up?
I'm not sure. I didn't get to that part on the YouTube video.
I mean, like... They gave up 10 runs in the first inning.
It was bad enough to where there was no coming back.
You know what I'm going to blame it on? I'm going to blame it on the...
I'm blaming on your bandwagon fandom. You jinxed them.
No, it's the woke millennials who had to come out and the Braves. This is what they get for kowtowing to the...
I don't know why you always have to go all in on millennials.
Because they piss me off, man.
Well,
they're ruining this country.
No, I don't.
A festering wound. The Braves should have told that dude, look, we've been doing the tomahawk chop for 30 years. It's part of our tradition. Nobody, and I mean nobody, uses it to caricature or make fun of Native American peoples. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. It's a sign of respect. And it's people like this guy that want to get offended – that want to get offended because they're not actually offended. They just want to pretend to be offended so that they can claim victimhood.
I mean, I don't
virtue signal to the rest of us as if there's some sort of aggrieved. You're playing Major League Baseball in the United States of America, dude. Shut up. It's pathetic. You're pathetic. The Braves should have told that dude where he could stick his complaint. And their tomahawk, they should have handed out 100,000 of those tomahawks so that every Braves fan could have one in both hands. They should have tomahawk chopped until their heart's content. It's what they get for kneeling down and genuflecting before the altar of fake wokeness. It's what they get. They deserve it.
So they're on what, their third pitcher now?
What a debacle. I don't even really care that much. I'm just stunned.
I didn't think you were that big of a fan. I mean, I'm sure guys like Lester and
I'm sure
and Big Josh are
Big Josh.
He's curled up in the fetal position
Big
somewhere.
Josh.
Prayers,
I love you,
brother.
Buddy.
T's and P's. Thoughts and prayers, brother. I get him a Yankees hat he can wear during the series. We're at home right now, resting.
Citizens National Bank is the official bank of the drive. Check them out online at cnbtn.com. Citizens National Bank, where banking never felt so good. 21 branches throughout East Tennessee. Find the branch nearest you, again, at cnbtn.com. Call and ask about the free rewards checking. 865-453-9031 is their number. I'm blabbering. We got callers. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back to wrap things up from Smoky Mountain Brewery. A little power round coming up next on The Drive. The shocking conclusion. Stay with us. It's Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio.
The unexplainable. The unimaginable. The Drive.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain.
They're just going to leave this Freed guy in. Just let him get rocked. Snickers like, whatever. It's 11-0 now with a runner on second as they struck that dude out. Golly, man.
Fried. Yeah, he is.
He's fried. Yeah, Freed is fried.
Fried.
Let's get Justin in here. We got to bang through these here. Thanks to Smoky Mountain Brewery for having us out today. Justin, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
What's up, guys?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Russ, good to see you back from vacation. Took a month off. I mean, I took two days.
The guy's kind of lazy, isn't he, Justin?
I've watched 5 Jeremy Pruitt coached football games. I need some time off, man. Cut me a break.
You must be getting ready for December, I guess. Is that what you're doing? Go and take time off so you can't take time off in December.
Oh, I'm taking time off in December, too. What are you taking for?
It's like retail, but, you know, for coaching search, right? So retail, you can't take off around Thanksgiving or Black Friday. You guys can't probably take off for, like, you know, couple weeks after the season, because we're going to be coaching, you know, doing another coaching search again.
Just in case the coaching search. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That would
fall of 2017.
That would suck. What if you had,
brutal,
like, a big, I don't know, what if you were, like, in the media, you had a big, like, beach trip planned or something for the week after the season or something, and then that, I don't know, that would be a tough spot,
guys,
man.
But I got to admit,
17.
I got to admit, Bear, now that I found out you're a Yankees fan, now we're in the same boat together, I'm just going to post an open welcome arms to all the Braves fans that are listening and to my good friend that just called me like 5 minutes ago, said he's on the way to the bar because it's 11-0. Come on over to Yankees. We're sitting at the house, ready to go to the World Series here in a couple days because we're going to, you know, play through the Rays or play through the Astros, whoever. Rays probably going to win game 5. We'll take it. Be an easier matchup. But, Russ, I don't know. I think you're a Braves fan, I think, but – If you are a Braves fan, we'd love to have you on the bandwagon. There's room for you.
You'd make a great Yankees fan. You're a good Navy Blue.
He would. He looks like a Yankees fan. You know,
he does, doesn't he? He really does. Now that you mentioned that,
Jumping on a Yankees bandwagon like Bear, become a fake Yankees fan. Can't name 3 players on the roster.
Aroldis Chapman, Aaron Judge.
The Judge Machine. I mean, 27 championships, boys.
That's all he's got.
Giancarlo Stanton.
I got to admit, boys, that this is good to get off of the Tennessee football. Poor Phil. I love listening to Phil. He calls in every day. Today was the day I thought he was going to get off the ledge. He's on the ledge today a little bit about the Braves game. And that's not like Phil now to hear
this
about the Braves.
This is surreal. Just looking up, second inning, 11-0. Like it's weird. They're gonna,
like it's kind of like Tennessee's football season. Like I feel jipped now.
Imagine
what's
like,
pointing.
All right, so let's pretend for a second that you paid a couple $100 for a pair of tickets to this, and you drove down from Knoxville. A
couple of hundred.
Like, I got some buddies from Greenville there.
Do you stick it out? Like, do you just stay? Like, how long do you?
But he got
he called me
to
tomorrow already.
Get blown away, as Philly says. I'd be doing something at Buckhead. I'd go somewhere.
Right.
Drown the sorrows. Call you.
Well, they have the battery out there. Yeah, like they have bars outside the stadium where you can. I'd imagine that's what people are doing.
That's right. It's
moved. I bet they're full.
Last
they're
time I went there, it was still in the rougher part of town.
All right, Justin.
Well,
thanks,
guys,
man.
thanks for the call. Thanks for taking my call. Y'all have
you
a good evening. Smoky Mountain Brewery. Drink away.
Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Smoky Mountain Brewery, folks. $6 burger day. I'm going to get off here and hang out. We got the Godfather and Davey here. Hang out with those guys for a little bit. Have a mountain light or two. You want to come by and hang out? Bear's abandoning me.
I'm going to have to wait for my food to get ready.
My wife and kids are out of town. I'm batching it. Like, I want to party. I want to get loose. And Bear's like, I got to go.
It's fall break, man. I got Junior with me.
I'm at Smoky Mountain. Bring him down. Let him hang with Bear and Uncle Russ.
How's he? He's not allowed to repeat anything Uncle Russ says.
Can he Uber? Can children Uber? Like,
I'm not letting my kid Uber yet.
But, like, can he? Is that even an option? I don't know. I'm the Uber out here.
No, he doesn't think we're cool. I don't know why.
No. That's sad.
What's he going to say?
Sad way to end
like
the show.
We talked about it. He said we aren't cool. I said, well, what about Chance? He's like, Chance is cool.
Big thanks to Jake Lester back at the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Big thanks to Smoky Mountain Brewery for having us out, folks. We'll be back in studio tomorrow. And stay with us. Overtime coming up next from 6 to 8. Right here on Fan Run Radio.